Very good. I want you to take the Word of God, please. Turn with me to the book of Haggai in chapter 1. The book of Haggai in chapter number 1. We'll begin our reading in verse number 5. Haggai chapter number 1 and verse number 5. We began our study on the book of Haggai last Sunday morning, and we're continuing this Sunday morning. And what a little book it is. It's a great book, very applicable to today. And we praise God for His practicality of his wonderful word. You didn't know I could say big words like that, did you? Is that a word? I think it is. I hope it is. If it's not, it should be. Let's put it in the dictionary, you know. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. If you mark your Bible, if you're here last week, you've probably already marked it. But if you weren't, in verse number 5 and verse number 7 is a word I want you to write down or mark it right there. It's the little word, consider. The little word, consider. We began a message last week on that word, consider. Now let's pray together. I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. This morning, I praise you for what you've done in our hearts. Thank you for the singing, for the great music here. Thank you for the praying. And now, Lord, I pray for the preaching, that you'll touch it in a mighty way. May somebody who's lost walk this aisle, if there's truly one lost here. And we who are saved, would you stir our spirit and stir us up for the cause of Jesus Christ. Help me now, I pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive my sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Haggai is one of the post-exilic prophets. This means that he prophesied when the Jews came back from Babylonian captivity. In 538 BC, God moved Cyrus, the king of Persia at that time, to issue a decree permitting and encouraging the Jews to return to their homeland. This is found in Ezra chapter number 1. Now, after this, in 534 BC, the work on the temple, or the house of God, if you will, that it's identified here in our text as God's house, that work ceases in 534 BC. Now, please keep in mind that the temple, God's house here in Haggai chapter 1, this temple is what reminded the Israelites that God was a real person. The temple is what reminded them that God was alive and that he was to be worshipped, and he wanted to fellowship with man. Now, in this day, failure to complete the temple could have paralyzed the religious life of the Israelites. Now, the main point, as we come to the book of Haggai that we began to look at last week, that came out in point number one, the main point that comes shining through the book is this. There's only two chapters, one major point. The major point is, put first things first. In other words, put God above yourself. Don't put your own desires above the desires of Almighty God. Now, with that being the case, we have come to our message, as I just about broke my finger right there, but we've come to our message. And that message is consider. Now, in that one word, there are three things in this chapter I see that God wants us to consider. Now, that word consider means to pay close attention to. Don't miss this. God's saying there's some things in this chapter that you as Israel, as his people, and today as his people, we are to pay close attention to it and consider it. Number one, we looked at last week. Let me just tap it on the head and go on. First of all, we are to consider the ways of the people. Now, we saw this in verses 2 through 7 and verse 9. Let me just summarize it, because this was the message last week. If you missed it, I challenge you to get a copy of that message. But we see, as we consider the ways of the people, there were four things that summarized their ways. Number one, they were neglectful.
We see this in verses 2 and 9 because what had happened is God had been so good to them and brought them back to their promised land. God gave them favor in Cyrus' eyes, and God released them out of Babylonian captivity, and God brought them back to their land. When they got back to their land, they were discouraged and they stopped working on God's house. And instead of working on His house, they were pouring all their efforts into their house. So we see in this that their ways were neglectful. They were neglecting what God wanted them to do. Secondly, their ways were selfish. Just like I've already told you before, just like I went into detail last week, we see their selfishness coming out. Because the money that God gave them, the effort that God gave them, the will that God had for them to build His temple, they were neglecting that and selfishly building up their own homes in a luxurious lifestyle. Number three, their ways were not only neglectful and selfish, but number three, their ways did not satisfy. We saw this in verse number 6 and also verse number 9, where God says, you have sown, but you're reaping little. You are drinking, but you're still thirsty, verse number 6. You are eating, but you're still hungry. You are gathering food, but you're sticking it into a bag, and I'm poking holes in it. We see that when a person puts their God-given efforts into their own desires, in other words, God wants them to do this, but no, I'm going to do that instead. When they live that way, they're never satisfied. Amen. Because only God can truly satisfy. That was the third thing. Number four, we noticed that their ways caused the judgment of Almighty God. This was found in verses 10 and 11, where He says, I called for a drought upon the land, verse number 11. Here's what God's saying. He's saying, when you put yourself above Me, I will not put up with that. I will not let you go on that way. I will judge your ways. And what we focused on there is instead of really seeing God's judgment, even though that's what it was, what comes shining through is the grace of God. Because if God let them go their own way and they were satisfied, then they would never turn to Him. But He judged them and He made sure that their ways did not satisfy them, so they knew there was something better for their life. And let me say this to you. When God judges your sin, it's because He loves you. He has something better for you. He's a gracious God. Somebody say amen right there. That's point number one. I just about preached that again, but let me go on. Number two, the second thing that we are to consider is not only the ways of the people, but number two, we're to consider the word of the Lord. Now we see this in verses 3 through 5 and 8 and 9. I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but I will read verse number 3. Look at it. Then came the word, there it is, of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying. Now in these verses, we see the Lord is speaking through His prophet Haggai. Now let me say here before we consider His word that we can learn something about the privilege that Haggai had here. In other words, he literally had the privilege of God speaking through him. Now in the same way, before I consider His word with you here, we should strive to allow the Lord to speak through us today. Now I'm not talking about some new revelation. What I'm talking about is you ought to understand that the ability to speak comes from God. He gives you the ability to speak. He really does. And since He allows you to speak, you ought to give your mouth to God and say, God, don't let filth come out. Let your word come out of my mouth. Let me tell people about you. Surrender your mouth to the will of God. Now that's for even consider His word. I just wanted to throw that out there just a little bit. Now let me give you some things about His word that we're going to consider today. Number one, under this, His word reveals His knowledge. We see this in verses 3, 4, and 9. Look at it. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And the house of and this house or the temple lie waste. Look at verse number 9. You look for much, lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house, it's waste. And you're running every man into his own house. Now what's the word of the Lord showing us here? What's the first thing we consider about His word? First thing we consider about His word is that these people could not deceive the Lord. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. He knew exactly what was going on. He really did. And he knew why they were doing what they were doing. In other words, this people could not pretend to be ignorant with the will of God. In the same way today, listen to me, there are those who know what they're doing is wrong. They already know it is. But they live as if the Lord does not know. It's happening all over the place. And they live as if God doesn't really understand their motives. They honestly live like they're tricking God. They think that they can deceive God. Are you listening to me? That's impossible. Understand this. This is a powerful point. There is nothing that the Lord does not know. Nothing. The Word of God tells us in 1 John 3:20, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. The Word of God says in Ezekiel 11:5, thus saith the Lord, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Boy, that's scary. Psalm 147, 4 and 5. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is something that ought to convict us that he knows all things. But at the same time, it should be something that should encourage us because he knows what you're going through. And he knows how to deliver you. The first thing that we're considering today, the first thing was the ways of the people. They were neglecting God's house for their own house. And because of that, they weren't satisfied. And God was judging them in his grace. Then he begins to speak to them. And we're considering his word. And the first thing we notice about his word is it reveals his knowledge. He knew what was going on. He knew why they were doing what they were doing. And God knows all things about you too. He knows everything about me. Secondly, his word reveals his grace. We see this in verse number 8. I've already spoken to you about this a little bit. But it says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Now, have they even started this yet? No, but notice what he says. And I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified, saith the Lord. You know, it'd be worth noting here how the Lord, now this is kind of repetitive from the first point, but he is being very gracious to these people at this time. Here's what I mean. He could have written them off and started over and been right in doing it. But rather, he gave them another opportunity to get it right. Now, he didn't have to do that. He gave them the chance to get this wrong right and begin giving their lives to him. In a nutshell, when the Lord could have wiped them out and been right in doing it, he decided to give them another chance. Listen, that is the grace of God. There are some people living their life for themselves. In a crowd this size, there's probably many people, just like the Jews in Haggai, that you're putting yourself above God. You know God wants you to do that, but you're going to do this instead. You know God wants you to say that, but you're never going to say it because you're afraid to. You know God wants you to read your Bible, but you're not going to read it because you're too busy. You know God wants you to do this, but you're not going to do it. You know God wants you to be back in God's house tonight, but you're not going to do it because the football game's on. Amen. Amen. You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. Then go find a church where you're not going to hear that kind of preaching. Because you're going to hear it here. You ought to put God's house above your house every day of your life. By the way, that's loving preaching. That's not hurtful preaching. That's the kind of preaching that's going to bless your life if you let it. Put God first in your life. Why? Because he knows. And secondly, he's gracious. Here's what I'm saying. Have you ever met somebody who's living the life the way they want to live their life? I mean, they're just going to do what they want to do, go where they want to go, be where they want to go, be what they want to be, say what they want to say, all this other kind of stuff. I don't come down here much, but I come down here to get eye level with you. You'll catch that by freight tomorrow. I'm eye level with you, okay, folks? Good. I'm short, all right? Good. What am I saying? I lost my train of thought. Let me get back to it. Back up and come to it. What am I saying? I'm saying this. God is gracious to give people who are living wrong and know it another day of life to get it right. People are living like God doesn't know. They're living like God is in the dark. He doesn't really know what's going on in my life. He knows everything. And you better praise God for His grace, that when He knows that we're doing this, instead of saying, okay, He says, go up to the mountain. Get some wood and bring it down and build the house. That's His grace. Amen. His word reveals His knowledge. His word reveals His grace. By the way, sometimes I get carried away and I say things. And I don't want them to be taken wrong. I don't want anybody else to find another church. God knows my heart. But listen, folks, I love you too much than to look at you and say, it's okay to stay home and watch football and not come to God's house. I love you too much to say that. And in your heart, you know that's right, don't you? Number three, His word not only reveals His knowledge and His grace, but number three, it reveals His will. We see this in verse number 8. He told him exactly what He wanted him to do. Let me ask you a question. Let me say this and then I'll ask you a question. He told them what they were doing wrong. Then He told them what to do that was right. Does it sound familiar? Does that bring back a verse to you somewhere? He's reproving them and rebuking them, but then He's exhorting them with His next breath. Sound familiar?
It does to me.
2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. In this verse, we see the Lord tell him exactly what He wanted them to do. He didn't just reveal their wrong, He revealed His will. He didn't leave them out in the dark as to what He expected them to do. He told them exactly what He wanted them to do. And if they obeyed, He would bless them. If they did not obey, there would be a price to pay. Now, in the same way, listen to me, the Word of God does the same thing today. It tells you where you're wrong. At the same time, it tells you this is right. And what we need to do is we need to live according to the revealed will of God in His Word. If we obey it, He blesses us. If we don't, there'll be a price to pay. This is one reason why you and I should spend time every day in the Word of God. Why? Because He's speaking to us. He's reproving us there. He's correcting us there. He's instructing us in righteousness there. He's giving us doctrine there. And He's showing us, stay away from that. Do that. This is what I expect. Don't do that. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. And this is what His word in Haggai reveals to us. He's showing us, I'm not only going to tell you what's wrong, I'm going to tell you what's right. This is what I want you to do. You want to know the will of God? Do you want to know it? Right there it is. That's it. The will of God and the word of God never contradict each other. If God's word says that, then God will not lead you opposite of that. For instance, He says, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And yet some teenagers are saying, well, he just don't understand my mom and dad. He don't understand anything. No, understand, he knows all things. He's been gracious to you. And he's revealing his will to you. This is all under his word. Beautiful. And if you want his best, obey. If you don't, don't. But I guarantee you, he'll judge you. And he'll know what it takes to turn you around. Amen. Number one, consider the ways of the people. Number two, consider the word of the Lord. Then number three, consider the work of the house. We see this in verses 12 and 15, 12 through 15. I'm not going to read it for time's sake here. But in a nutshell, what's going on in verses 1 through 11, they are taking their God-given talents and money and efforts, and they're pouring it out into their own stuff. They're being selfish and very neglectful of God's house, of God's will for their life. God is being gracious to them by speaking to them and saying, put that away and do this. He's gracious. He knows what's going on. And he tells them exactly what to do. And in verse number 12, there's a change that comes over the people. They began to do the will of God. You know the greatest time in your life is when you cease from self and do what God wants you to do. You have a choice to make in life. Will you do your will or God's will? You do your will, it will not satisfy. Anybody agree with that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you do God's will, and you'll have the peace that passeth all understanding. It's just the way He's made it. Let me give you some things about the work of the house to consider. Now, thus far we've considered the ways of the people, the word of the Lord. Now we see in these verses that the people began to work on the Lord's house. In other words, the work of self has ceased, and the word of God and the work of God has been resumed. What's this message do? It's trying to bring so many people to the end of themselves and say, I'm through with that, and pick up the will of God. Say, I'm going God's way. As we look at these things, there's several things I want to bring out. There's four of them, as a matter of fact, about the work of God, the work of the house that we need to consider. Number one, under this work was motivated by the fear of God. We see this in verse 12. Look at it. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, high priest, and with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people, look at it, did fear before the Lord. The work of the house was motivated by the fear of God. In other words, when this people recognized God's authority in their life, they had no problem obeying His voice. Do you realize why so many people do not go God's way? They do not respect Him. They do not fear Him. The word fear, it carries the idea of standing in fear, but it also carries the idea of respect. Somebody said this one time, this is outstanding. Whom God makes strong for His service, He first subdues to His fear. And that means this: the reason that they ceased from their work and they picked up the work of God again is they recognized that God is God. And He had every right to tell them what to do. And they were afraid not to do what He wanted them to do. Are you listening to me? They had respect for His authority and great dread of His wrath. And in the same way, are you listening? We need to have great respect for the authority of God. He has every right to tell us what to do. Life is from Him. Breath is from Him. My blood is circulating because of Him. And if He tells me, Jody, don't do that and do that, I need to fear Him, respect Him, and say, yes, sir, because you deserve it. That's the fear of God. The bottom line is, there's so many people today, they respect themselves. I'll do what I want to do. I will not take orders from anybody. Nobody will tell me what to do. You may have never said that with your lips, but many of you are saying it with your life. Many. When you know God wants you to do this, and you say, no, I won't do that. You know God wants you to do that, but you're doing this. That is not fearing God. That's the problem. It was motivated by the fear of God. God will judge wrong. You will not get by with it. You say, I've gotten by with it for 5 years. God's amazing grace. But His judgment is right around the corner. Do you fear Him? It was motivated by the fear of God. They worked because they feared God. They respected Him. They realized His authority. And they knew that if they did not fear Him, judgment was lying ahead. Man, that's missing today. Just look around. I wonder, do you fear the Lord? Number two, the work not only was motivated by the fear of God, but it was encouraged by the presence of God. We see this in verse number 13. Look at it. It says, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Boy, that's beautiful. These people have been sinning against Him. They have stabbed Him in the back, if you will. God knows all about it. And yet in verse number 13, He said, if you will cease from that and you will come to Me, I will be with you. Beautiful. As these people had ceased from their own works and now working in the will of God, He speaks through His prophet and He encouraged them by saying His presence is with them. Get this. When the people determined to obey the voice of the Lord, His voice went from one of reproof, verse number 11, to one of encouragement,
in verse number 13. Do you see that?
He wanted them to know that when they put his will above their own, he would be with them, he would help them, he would guide them. What a promise God gives to his people here. He's saying, if you cease from your will and you do my will, I will step in your life. I will take care of you. I will help you. I will encourage you. I will strengthen you. But if you do not do my will and you decide to live in your will, I am opposing you. I will still love you. I will in grace come after you and I will judge your life because I want your heart. I want you. God's after us. He wants us. And if it takes judgment, fine. But if you say, no, I don't want the judgment. I want God's best. I will cease. And you jump over here. He says, I was waiting on you the whole time. He was encouraged by the presence of God. This work was motivated by the fear of God. Encouraged by the presence of God. Matthew 28, 20. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Number three, I'm on my last page of notes. Means absolutely nothing. I'm out of breath. Amen. I'm glad I get out of breath every now and then. The work was not only motivated by the fear of God, encouraged by the presence of God, but it was helped by the stirring of God. Boy, I like this. Look at verse number 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. You know what the word stirred up means? It means to wake up or to awaken up. In other words, it seems to carry the idea that the Lord snapped them out of their sleep state. They've fallen asleep. When it comes to the will of God, they've fallen asleep. They're awake with their own selfish desires, but they've fallen asleep in the will and word of God. They know God wants them to do it, but they're just careless. They're just motionless. They're asleep. But yet when God's Spirit comes into a place, He stirred them out of their sleep. He snapped them out of their sleep. He said, wake up! And when the Spirit of God shows up, He knows what it'll take to get them eyeballs wide open. The bottom line right here is what I'm saying is He not only told them what to do, He gave them the want to get it done. That's what it means. He stirred them up. He said, here's what you need to do. This is wrong. This is right. And they said, we will. They commit. We will obey the Lord. They began to obey the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord moved in. And He said, I'm with you now. And with Him comes His stirring. And He's saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Cease from your sin. Go forward for the glory of God. And that, and Zerubbabel's spirit and Joshua's spirit and the people's spirit were, I mean, they not only were going to work, they were saying, glory to God, we get to do this. Glory to God, we get to do this. Glory to God, we get to do this. And when you're in the center of God's will and He's working in your life, He will not only tell you what to do, He will help you do it, and He will stir your spirit to where that's what you want to do. Amen. That's all here in Haggai. What a book. Good night, what a chapter. Hallelujah. By the way, does this sound familiar? In a world that's putting their own selfish wants above the Lord's desires, what we need is a stirring of God's Spirit. And we need that stirring. God, give that stirring in the midst of our midst, putting into the minds and hearts of His people to wake up and get busy fulfilling His will. And 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Oh, that's a powerful verse. He's saying there's a lost and dying world. There's people that don't even know about God. There's people that don't even have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness and sin not. You say, Jody, what's the big deal if I don't go God's way? The big deal is you will cause somebody to split hell wide open. That's the big deal. Number three, it was helped by the stirring of God. And then number four, and I wonder today, are you awake? I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Are you awake? Are you awake in your marriage? Or have you fallen asleep in what God wants you to do? Are you awake in your soul winning, or have you fallen asleep in what God wants you to do? Are you awake? You say, Jody, what can help me? Start obeying God. And God will show up. And when He shows up, He'll stir your spirit. He shakes things up. I like that. Listen, when God shows up, things happen. God's not just going to show up, nothing happens. When God shows up, He's going to stir the pot, folks. I want Him to stir the pot around here, don't you? Honestly, now some people don't want that. I'm comfortable. Don't bother me. I mean, listen, I'm satisfied. I don't want this church to grow any bigger than it is. It's hot in here already. I don't want anybody else coming in here. Leave me alone. I feel sorry for somebody like that. When what I want is God, stir me up. Stir me up. Shake me loose. Wake me up. And help me to do more for God. Then number four. The work was sealed by the glory and pleasure of God. We see this in verse number 8. Where He says, go to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You know, in this verse we see the Lord giving what is to be the real purpose for them doing the work. Was the real purpose for them to wake up? No. Was the real purpose that the house would be built? No. The real purpose was that God would be pleased. And God would be glorified. That word pleasure there means to be pleased, accept, set affection on, delight, or enjoy. Here's what God said. If you'll build this house, I will be pleased with it. I will accept it. I'll set affection on it. I will delight in it, and I will enjoy it. Powerful word. Then the word glorified means to be honored or promoted. In these words, we see what life is really all about. It's about honoring the Lord and bringing pleasure to Him. That's what it's about right there. They could do this by obeying His word and finishing His work. And in the same way, we're to be more concerned about the pleasure of God than our own. We're to be more concerned with how big He is and not how big we are. The Bible says in John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. Now when the Jews were released to go back to their homeland, I'm going back and paraphrasing, they were content to leave the house of God in waste while they spent money and time on their own homes. In this, they were being neglectful, selfish, and not even being satisfied. Then God in His grace judged their efforts and told them exactly what they are to do. If they would obey Him, He would bless them. If not, they would suffer. When they decided to do God's will instead of their own, He promised to be with them. He stirred them up to do His work. And they began working. Get it? From verse 1 to verse number 15, you can read it later. They began working in just a little over 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And once it was built, the God who was judging over here would be glorified over here. Now, in this, I see four dangers to be aware of. And I'm coming to a close. Here it is. That doesn't mean you're closing. Number one, there's a danger of waiting when we should be working. Number two, there's the danger of lamenting the past and missing the present. Number three, there's a danger of seeing only the material and forgetting the supernatural. And number four, there's the danger of recognizing who is against you, but forgetting who is for you. And I ask you a question. As we've looked at these three things to consider, the ways of the people, the word of the Lord, the work of the house, where are you today? Are you in the family of God? Are you guilty of placing yourself above God? Are you spending time daily searching the Word of the Lord to find what He wants you to do with your life? Do you truly fear God?
Do you need the Spirit of God to stir you up? And are you more interested in God's pleasure and glory than your own? It's very applicable to today, isn't it? And here it is. May God drive it in and on our hearts. Let's all bow our heads together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, take this simple message. And it is simple. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use it in a mighty way. Father, would you help people to respond in the way that you would have them to respond? Now, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. And they get prepared there. First things first. And that is, do you know for sure that heaven's your home? Do you know without a doubt that if you drop dead, that you're going to heaven? Do you know without a doubt that if Jesus came today, that you're going to heaven? Anybody here today, you say, Jody, I'm glad I know. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. Now listen, if you don't know this, please, please don't lie. You can lie to me, but you cannot lie to the God who knows all things. If you say, Jody, I'm glad I know I'm saved. I know I am. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You know you are. There's no doubt about it. You know you're saved. God bless you. Now, there are some in our midst who could not raise your hand. And I'd like to say to you, if you did not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. It all starts with honesty. Is there one here today? And I've already seen some who couldn't. But this is between you and the Lord. If you could not raise your hand, you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question. If I died today or if Jesus Christ came back today, I do not know that heaven's my home. Is there one like that? You say, Jody, I was honest a minute ago. I could not raise my hand. I'm asked you to be honest again. You say, Jody, this is me. I do not know that. I don't know it. Would you be honest again? Would you raise your hand in the air right now, please? Anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. God bless you. Up in the balcony, I see you. Somebody else? You say, Jody, this is me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Anybody along with this one, would you raise your hand? Anybody? God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else? Just put it up. Put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to your seat. I just need to know how we need to proceed with the invitation. Somebody else, would you raise your hand? Anybody? If you raise your hand to that, I want you to do me a favor. Would you do this, please? If you raise your hand to that, I want you to sit back in your seat and I want you to look right up here at me. Nobody else is looking, but I want you to look. I want you to see that I see you, okay? I want you to know that I see you and I want you to know that I see you. Do you know the people sitting beside you? Do you? In just a moment, I'm going to have you to respond, but here's how I want to help you with this. I want somebody, one, two, three, four, this is up to you, that you would want to come with you so you're not by yourself. Do you understand what I'm doing? Whoever you're comfortable with right now, I want you to poke them. Okay, if you get poked, I want you to look right up here at me, please. I want you to bring somebody with you in just a moment. And I want you to come with them. Let me tell you why I do this. Because the devil works at a time like this, and he says, that aisle's so long. I'm in the middle of a pew. I can't get out. Listen. People that are sitting beside you would rejoice to be able just to get out of the way so you can come. And the reason I have you come with them is it makes it just that much easier on them to come. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We're going to help you with this. Now, the reason we have you come forward is because we have a lady that sits down with females, and they'll take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. I'm going to ask you to do this in just a moment. I trust you'll do it. God help you. By the way, what I'm asking you to do, those who raised their hand a minute ago saying, I know, this is what they did.
if they were in a church service when this happened. May the Lord help you to do it. God help you. Thank you. I'll deal with you in just a moment. If you're still sitting there and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. When you preach about Haggai and what was going on and how people were neglecting the will of God and doing their own will, how they knew that God wanted them to do that, but they instead did this, and how God in His graciousness was after them, trying to turn them back to Him. You say, Jody, this sounds like me. Now, this doesn't mean that you're a wicked person. No. This might be something just as simple as your Bible reading. You realize God wants you to read your Bible, but you've just been too busy to do it. It could be a number of things, but you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm a Christian, but I believe God's speaking to me. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. That's several hands. God bless you. Have you a Christian today and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian,
but God needs to stir me up. Now understand, this doesn't mean that you're neglecting things. This just means that you sense in your own heart that God needs to stir you up. To stir you, shake you loose, wake you up. Maybe it's in the matter of soul winning, whatever it may be. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I want God to stir me. I want Him to stir me up. This is what I need. Would you be an honest Christian? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest Christian. Yes, that's a lot of hands. God bless you. If you raise your hand to anything, that's a lot of you. I don't do this all the time, but if you raise your hand to anything, I want you to look right up here at me, please. If you're anything. We have some people who are dealing with their salvation in our midst. I'm going to ask you to respond. I'll tell you one reason I do that. You ought to, but number two, when you respond, it makes those who need to come, it gives them more courage to come because they don't feel like they're the only one coming. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I want to challenge every one of you to leave your place, if God's in it, and come and find a place at this altar. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, break it in a mighty way. Use it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, if God's dealing with you right now is your time. As they come, as Brother Gary sings, please come. Please do this now. Please do this now. God help you as he sings, please.
Softly and tenderly,
God's dealing with you.
Jesus is calling.
Come on.
Calling for you.
Now's your time.
And for me.
Now's your time. May the Lord help you.
See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching
God help
for you.
Amen.
And for me.
Amen, that's good.
Come home.
May the Lord help you with this.
Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Standing, I'd like you to look this way, please. God's dealing, God's working. We praise Him for it. I like it when the Lord stirs things up. I like it when He stirs me up. And in my own heart, I feel a stirring. God's wanting to do something. And I want Him to do it. I really do. But this building, families of faith, family crusade, why don't you begin now to ask God to stir your family up? God, stir my marriage. Stir my parenthood. Stir me up. Show me what I need to do. I look at a crowd this size, and the word that comes to mind is the word potential. Could you imagine if a crowd this size, if every one of us got stirred and said, I'm through putting myself above God. I will put God first. Could you imagine what would happen? Wouldn't you like to see it? My heart yearns for it. Beg God for it. Let's sing that second verse together, Brother Gary. If God's still speaking, there's still time, please, as we sing.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me?
Amen.
Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home.
Taking a little bit of time to deal with somebody about their salvation, do you? I believe it's worth it, don't you? Sure it is. Sure it is. Let me speak to you teenagers just a moment. You know what our youth group needs? We've got a great man leading it. A dear wife. I'm not saying this because I see the need in it. I'm saying it because it's true of any area in our church. The youth group needs a stirring. You say, how does it start with you? It starts with you. Do you want it that bad? Do you want it that bad? I just don't want to see normal things. I want the Lord to do what He wants to do. It's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. Let me give a couple of names here. Just keep playing. That'll be good. Is it Juliana or Juliana? Juliana Miller. If you'll stand, Juliana, if you don't mind. Is Eden standing with you? Came in on bus number 10. Whose bus route's that? Brother Perkins, are you here? Miss Perkins, right? Good. She came in on your bus. She's coming today to accept the Lord as her Savior. Say, Jody, you going to keep them buses running? I'll give you two guesses. First one's not no, you know. She's worth more than all the worlds. You really are, young lady. God bless you. I care about you here. That's a great thing. I got out of breath preaching, but the Lord's calmed me down. We praise God for what He's doing. Amen. This is good. Thank the Lord for it. This is Stephanie. Is that Achlu? Is that how you pronounce it? Achlu. That's a Y. You can laugh, folks. That's all right. She's coming today. She's actually from, what's this say here? Louisville, Tennessee. She's in the service today, and she's come forward, and she's accepting the Lord as her Savior. We're happy for you. God bless you. This is the greatest decision you'll ever make. Go forward for the Lord. Let this be the starting point, not the ending point. Stay with us. I know you can't stay with us because you don't live here. We'd like to send you something in the mail. Just make a note on that if you don't mind with this. You stay with us on them buses, young lady, okay? We'll help you any way we can. Are you happy you're here today? Amen. God bless you. I hope you'll be back tonight, 6:30. We'll be revealing the plans and all these kind of things, the vision that we feel the Lord would have us to do. Not all of it. And I trust you'll be here for that. Teachers meeting, 5:45 in the chapel. If you're a prospective teacher, you'd like to teach sometime or be involved in Sunday school, you come to that meeting as well. God bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Scotty Carey, if you don't mind, sir, to dismiss us in prayer. God willing, we'll see you this evening, okay?